episode number 149. And Tim, they're eating the dogs.
You know,
they're eating the cats.
The funny thing is, before the debate, I, of course, my mind just mindlessly scrolling Twitter. Dude, the videos are insane. If you saw them before, I saw them like 2 weeks before. I have a text, actually. I have text confirmation of a date of me texting saying, wow, like, stuff's going crazy in Ohio right now. I have a text. It was like 2 weeks ago. I've been eyeing this. I was like, what the hell is going on? Why is no one talking about this? This is crazy.
They're eating the just...
The videos are nuts.
When I was watching it, like, I wasn't, like, really listening to it because, like, I don't really give a shit about politics. But a new segment to the pod coming soon, Talking Politics, where you get to submit your questions, your political questions, to us. And we answer them, which should be even funnier. Talking Politics. That's what we're going to be calling it.
We're going to call it NBA Comparisons.
Yes. Like, this debate. Like, what does that compare to in NBA terms?
Trump going back to office is like Dirk Nowitzki suiting up for year 21.
All right, enough politics. I just felt like I needed to start with that. Week two, picks and predictions. Thursday night game already happened. We did post the graphic up on Instagram. I am 0-4. Because James Cook decided, now I'm going to be an effective running back.
And score three
touchdowns. And to put salt in the wound, like, I had Devon Achane in one of my leagues. And I'm like, all right, 22 points, not bad. James Cook with, like,
26,
like, something like that. Very upsetting. We will dive into week 2 picks and predictions. College football, week 3. Nothing that big going on. I mean, Alabama's going to Camp Randall. That should be interesting.
Exciting weeks.
There are definitely more exciting weeks. We have Colorado and Colorado State. That means something now.
Yeah, because Colorado's terrible. That means something.
Did
Colorado
something.
State have two guys that turned down like crazy NIL deals? I do not believe that they turned down $500,000 or like it was like $1 million. The guy was getting offered $2 million or whatever. He's like, no, we're going to bring a championship to Colorado State. Who in their right mind would stay at Colorado State if a team like LSU or even like a UNC is offering you?
Yeah, I don't know. Makes no sense. Then we're going to dive into some baseball. The Mets. What a win. What a win. What a
oh
win
my
on
gosh. Oh my win. Gosh, Stan. Oh my gosh. What a game. The amazing Mets. Are you kidding me? That was the craziest ninth inning I think I've seen since. Let's go back to 21, that Phillies game when they were down 8-1 and they came back and won.
Oof. God. I remember that game. I bet on the Mets.
That was the turning point of the season.
Bet on the Mets that
And then
that
they
day.
Blew it. But
and then they
besides
blew
the
it.
Point. Besides the point. Besides the
any,
point.
Anyway. let's recap the Thursday night game first. Obviously, the injury to Tua.
Well, let's start before the injury. Let's
yeah,
just start
before
the
injury.
Because before the injury wasn't good either.
It was bad.
It wasn't good. And that was the first time he threw two picks in the first quarter in all 55. Yeah, in his 55 games he's played.
Yes.
Yeah, it just didn't look good. I mean, what was that second? Was it the second interception where the comeback route? Or was that the third?
The third interception, he was trying to throw the ball away.
Oh yeah, the one
while
he got
being
was...
sacked, and then it just like landed in the arms of the Bills linebacker, and he just ran it to the end zone. The first one wasn't really his fault. The receivers got it.
No, you know what? I'm sorry though. It's on both of them, but you don't throw that ball. I mean, it's one on one coverage. You threw it a little behind him. You just don't throw that ball. There's no reason to throw that ball.
And then the second one was bad. That was pretty bad.
That was Robbie Chosen, right? He came in a cutback and just
Robbie Anderson Chosen Anderson.
I don't even know what his name is.
Now he's Robbie. He's Robbie Chosen.
He's all over the place.
Oh my god. It's like the Upton. That's like the Upton brother.
What, BJ or
Melvin?
Which one? Oh yeah.
Melvin Upton Jr.
It's like Meta World Peace.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Meta World Peace, thank you. Yeah, but even just like the play calling by McDaniel,
I think he's a one trick pony and I think other teams have figured it out.
I don't think other teams have figured it out. I think Sean McDermott has figured it out.
Well, you know what? Props to Sean McDermott. He's a hell of a head coach. And what is it? Seven of the eight seasons he's been in Buffalo, they made the playoffs?
I believe so.
So he's up there with the Shanahans, but you got to scheme better. I mean, you see them twice a year. You already, you know, they know you partially. You're at your home field. Obviously, you're just looking to play the speed ball. I don't know. It just...
Like, there was one instance where they had a third and one. They had a third and one. And they ran a fullback dive with Alec Engold and got it.
Yeah.
And then they have a third and one again. I don't know if that... I can't remember if it was the same drive or, like, a completely different drive. They had a fourth
it was another
one.
Drive.
It was another drive? Yeah. Okay. They had a fourth and one. And then the entire defense is expecting... A fullback
and
dive up the middle.
And here's my thing for that is they didn't run that single formation. They ran it twice. They ran it with a fullback dive, and they ran it with a fullback dive. That was it. So obviously, yeah. If you're just going to run it two times, they didn't run single back the whole game. Well, actually, it was two guys in the backfield then. But they always run, you know, shotgun run because they have speed. They never run just out of the backfield. So it was pretty clear that's what they were doing. I don't know. I mean, I'm no football coach, but come on. Scheme a little
be
better.
Be so real. Now to his health, because this is just becoming
I'm thinking this is like an Andrew Luck thing.
I think right now it's – I think he's got to retire.
He has like, to. And I think – have
I'm
we
sorry,
seen a guy?
From like a have joking – not like a joking standpoint, but like really, they showed a highlight reel of all of his concussions within the past 2 years.
They did. And you know what?
Like,
you know what?
How many concussions he's had.
The common theme of all of them is he loses control of his limbs. I mean, I haven't seen a guy. I haven't seen anything like this.
That one against the Packers 2 years ago, it was like a 2 yard stick. No, it was like a 2 yard little stick route. I think he just doesn't know how to fall.
No, because he falls on his head every single time. When he gets pressured, it's boom, head goes back.
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster. Now, I don't know.
Well, how many? I just want to ask you this because you might know this. How many concussions did he have going into Miami? Because we knew this was a problem, you know, going into the NFL. But he had one or two in college that I didn't think were.
No, he had like a bad hip injury at Alabama.
I thought it was a concussion issue.
He had a bad hip injury when he was with Alabama. I don't know if he had a concussion at Alabama.
I don't know. The only guy I've seen have this many concussions is probably Sidney Crosby. Honestly.
I can't think of one.
Crosby had like four.
Let's see. To Alabama. Yeah, a timeline of... Oh, shit. Broke his finger in March 2018. Knee injury in 2018. Quad injury November 2018. Injured his left ankle in 2018.
Jesus Christ.
This was... Wait, so... Oh, yeah. That was the SEC championship game where Jalen Hurts came in. And then another ankle injury in 2019. So no concussions. But I get your point.
Yeah, he's just made of glass.
Yeah, I get your point. Now to Miami's quarterback situation right now. They
Skylar Thompson is terrible.
My thing is, here's my thing. My thing with Miami is that I know Tua had a good year last year. He stayed healthy, played every game. My thing with Miami is, one, why did you sign him to a big extension based off of one good year when you know his injury history? And then before everyone says like, oh, Jordan Love, it was based off of 1 year. I know Jordan Love's hurt right now, but Jordan Love is not as injury prone as Tua is. I'm sorry. He's not.
And I think that's a McDaniels thing. I think McDaniels was very vocal about this is the guy I want. Yeah. And this is who we're going to have.
The fact that you didn't, like, sign a quarterback. Like, you remember what happened 2 years ago when your quarterback could not even advance the ball.
That's what blows my mind.
You didn't sign a quarterback? Hell, you didn't spend, like, a sixth or seventh round pick on at least a quarterback that, like, you know is not going to be the future of the franchise. But if you, like, build him up, let's say Tua goes down. I mean, if Tua goes down, at least you have someone that's serviceable, maybe like a Spencer Rattler. Like, I think it's just poor management by the Dolphins. Very poor management by the Dolphins.
I agree. I think the first thing I said when Skylar Thompson came in was, is this really all they have? They had a whole offseason to retool. This is what they came up with. Skylar Thompson's a better quarterback than I'll ever be, but this is the National Football League. Matt Ryan's a better option at this point than he is. And just, I don't know. It's just no.
I hate to interrupt you. No, this is, I saw something completely different. This postseason, every MLB team will have this sponsored Strauss logo on their helmet.
Oh, jeez. That's going to make the Yankees helmet look so ugly.
I know.
That's the first one I thought of.
It's disgusting.
Like, the Mets, you can get away with it with the blue. But the navy and, the dark black with the Yankees, just that will not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand. But anyway, football. Back to football. Yeah, I don't know where they're going to go from here. I believe they go to Seattle next week, Miami. And now think of it from this perspective. This is a team that a lot of people had them winning the division.
Well, and you know why they had them winning the division? Based on their offense, their offensive output. Yeah. They were the highest scoring offensive team in the league last year, and that's clearly going to change without Tua.
Yeah,
I think for
I'm going to provide a counterpoint here real quick. I wasn't that impressed with Buffalo.
No.
Despite them putting up 34 points.
Neither was I.
I was not that impressed.
No, they couldn't really throw the football. I think, again, the run defense was a huge problem for Miami. I mean, that was – how do you – come on, stop the run. But, it didn't look clean from the Buffalo side either, even though they put up, 31 points?
Yes. I believe 31. Either 31 or 34.
Now, I'm not preying on anyone's downfall or anything, but as a Jets fan
– yeah, this is kind of
– it looks all right. I mean, Buffalo didn't look too great. Miami's a little banged up.
It gives you a shot. All right. Next week, Buffalo takes on – I had it, then I lost it. Oh, they take on the Jaguars on Monday Night Football next week, and then the Dolphins travel to – I'm losing it. Seattle, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dive into it. Week two, picks and predictions. We posted the graphic, but if you didn't see it, we're going to go through every game, just like how we usually did. I already have a loser, Josh Allen, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. If it weren't for James Cook, I feel like that situation would be much, much different.
Did he throw for, but anyway, he threw for one, right?
Yeah, to only James threw Cook. For one. Yeah, thanks, James Cook. All right, let's dive right into it. We go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Chargers favored by 4.5, total set at 38.5. Tim ringing the bell for the first time this year.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I'm taking Chargers at the spread.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's really hard not to.
And it's funny now because there are people that are still taking Carolina spread, and I don't get it.
Five in my mind is crazy, that the fact they even made, the fact that it's single digits is insane to me. I think this is a little slight to LA. I think J.K. Dobbins alone might outscore Carolina this week, but besides the point. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a snub for LA. I think this is probably the best value on the board, at least in my eyes. I get -5 at 110 and -110. I don't know. The fact that it's split evenly is ridiculous, but...
Yeah, there's money coming in on Carolina. 67% of the bets are on Carolina, which is also just absurd to me. But yeah, I got nothing from this game.
Delusional Panthers fans, that's where I'm at. This team has not improved at all from last season from what I saw in week one. If anything, they got worse. So,
all right, New Orleans, Dallas. Dallas favored by 6.5, total set at 46.5.
I feel like the spread's a little too much here. I don't love Dallas.
I get it. I mean, Dallas is undefeated at home last year. It's where they play their best football. And then they go into Cleveland. Now, granted, Deshaun Watson wasn't the best, but still, everyone was so worried about this Dallas team on the road. They go into Cleveland and beat their ass.
Saints played pretty well too, though.
Against the Panthers. Panthers.
You're right. I know, you're right.
Derek Carr. Touchdowns for 175 yards. That shouldn't be...
Well, Chris Olave didn't call two fucking balls, so shout out to him. Ruining my fantasy week. Too.
So, I got nothing from this, from the three, but if I were to play something, I'd take Dallas.
I'm taking the over if I'm taking anything.
Yeah, that's another fair assumption.
46.5?
Yeah, both indoor teams. Next up, Vegas, Baltimore. This is the biggest one. It was at 9.5, now it dropped to 8.5. In favor of the Ravens, total set of 41.5. I wanted to take something, but then I was led to other places.
Yeah, I think for me, I was looking at the 8 points. I like it. I think Baltimore wins by 8. I just don't, you know, love how you know, high that is. Yeah, yeah, it is early.
Sorry, I just yawned. It's very
early. I woke up at 6:30, so, you know, I've been up.
Damn, what were you doing?
Nothing. I don't have a... I'm just so lazy and I refuse to get it. But if you see my window right behind my bed, if you can... Yeah. There's no shades on it. Just
So like as soon as the sun
hits. So yeah, I mean, right, it's like literally, I mean, look how bright it is. Like that's my... Yeah, so right as the sun rises, I just wake up. But I don't go to bed too late, so...
Fair enough. Yeah, I got nothing from this game. If you want to take the Ravens first half, a very profitable bet is the Ravens in the first half against the spread at home.
Yeah,
which was very profitable last year, but I'm not touching anything from this game.
No, I think for me, if I'm taking anything, it's actually going to be Lamar Jackson over 50 rushing yards, if anything. I think pass rush on Las Vegas is all right. I mean, you have Max Crosby, of course. Once he gets to the backfield,
Wilkins.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar's got to at least escape at some point. I think we could see a big run out of him. So if I'm going to take anything, it's going to be that at -120.
All right, next up. Rematch of a playoff game last year. Tampa Bay going into Detroit, taking on the Lions. Lions favored by 7.5. Total set of 51.5. This one, I stay away from. Because of the number.
Me too, but I'm looking at
either way,
and I see the value in the pick too at +7.5. I feel like Tampa Bay's going to keep it closer. I think it's a little disrespectful. I think they're a much better team than people give them credit for.
That's fair.
That being said, Detroit's a hell of a football club, but I might put my money with Baker. It's not one of my picks, but if I'm going to take anything, I think a +7.5 is kind of where I would lean. I think I would put my money on Baker here.
Yeah, I was leaning towards the plus. I don't know. This game is just seems like just so gross to me. You know, like betting-wise, like this is going to be a good game. Two very good teams. I don't know. I didn't touch this, and after... Let's all be honest here. Detroit didn't really look the offense didn't really look the greatest. I get that it's week one, but to give them 7.5 after what that offense did, I don't know. I'm not a fan of this.
I'm not sold either. This game.
Next up, Jets Titans. Jets favored by 3.5. Total set of 41. I already know.
Yeah, dang it! Ding that bell! Ding that bell! Dude, it's a bounce back week, all right? Tennessee is Tennessee. I just don't see Will Levis doing too much against this defense. As bad as the pass rush and run defense was last week, I think they adjust. I'm just going to keep giving credit to that Niners O-line until they Jets play anyone else and prove me otherwise. But I think this defense holds up. I don't think Tennessee really gets on the board. I think 3.5, I guess after week one's respectable. But in my eyes, I see the Jets winning by maybe a touchdown too. So I'm going to take Jets spread here.
This isn't one of my three, but if you want to take Breece Hall over 69.5 rushing yards...
Yeah, I like that too. I also like Breece Hall rushing touchdown. I think
he's hit it in 3 of his last 5.
I think they're going to get to the red zone a lot more this year. I mean, that stat we saw in week 1, he had one rushing attempt last year within 5 yards. He had one rushing attempt within 5 yards this year. I think he's going to get a lot more.
Insane.
Yeah, and it's insane to see how fucking valuable he is to this team, and now finally he's getting runs within the 5 as a power and elusive back. I mean, he's everything. He checks every box as a running back you want. I would probably say the second best in the league, but I would definitely take him rushing touchdown or over on rushing too in this game.
Yeah, nothing from my three here, but definitely like that Breece Hall stat. Next up, Seahawks taking on the Patriots. Seahawks also favored by 3.5. Very low total, 38.5. A lot of people are expecting a bounce back spot from the Seahawks here after not looking too great against the Broncos.
Yeah, the Patriots offense wasn't anything special in week one. I don't know.
There's this guy that I follow on Twitter who is like, get this -3 now. He like placed it on like Tuesday. And then fact that it hasn't, and here I was like expecting it to go up and it hasn't, and it's only went up a half a point.
I don't know. I think for the betting line, they just look at Geno Smith and they just, you know, people say like, oh, it's Geno Smith. Like, it is what it is. But I see it as, are the Patriots really going to put points on the board? Like, really? I mean, led by Jacoby Brissett, they don't have too many weapons. Ramondre Stevens is...
I mean, they did beat the Bengals, so you got to give them some credit.
What was it, 16 to 10?
Yeah.
Bengals offense looked abysmal that game. Yeah, that
did not look good. Next up, Cleveland taking on Jacksonville. Cleveland. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
Ringing it, right. Stan.
Cleveland. Jacksonville favored by 3. Total set of 41.5. Again, I feel like this one's just going to be so gross. And I see that there are a lot of people on the Cleveland Browns.
Man, I'm one of them. Give me Browns money line. Give me Browns money line. I think we saw what happened in week one. Obviously, whatever. It is what it is. It wasn't a great form from Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying he comes back and is Deshaun Watson this week. What I am saying is he comes back and he's not what he was last week. I think he's a serviceable quarterback this week. This defense is too good for me not to give him a shot, especially what making the playoffs last year. They just renamed the Jaguars stadium like Trevor in front of whatever it is, because he's sponsored by whoever sponsors the stadium. So now it's renamed after Trevor Lawrence.
So, for this game, it's Everbank Field is now called Trevor Bank Field.
Yeah, so I'm just going to put my money on the team that's not doing that, and I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns. For a guy who hasn't won you a playoff game yet, I think it's a little bit much to rename the stadium.
Won them a playoff game.
I'm sorry. For a guy who hasn't had much success whatsoever besides last season, I think it's a little ambitious to rename the stadium. Obviously, you re-signed me to a crazy extension, but what were they even last year? They lost like 8 of the last whatever games. I mean,
they have lost of their last 5. They've lost 3 of their last 5.
Yeah, they're not a very hot team going into
one
this game.
One of them in very heartbreaking fashion.
Okay.
Or actually, two of them in very heartbreaking fashion.
Well, I'm going to maybe eat my words, but I'm taking Cleveland this week. I think Cleveland gets it done.
Yeah, I got nothing from this game. I think this game is going to be very, very gross. Next up, San Francisco taking on Minnesota. San Francisco favored by 5.5 on the road. Total set of 46.5. Christian McCaffrey.
Questionable.
He did practice.
I don't know if it matters.
He remained limited at Thursday's practice. The 49ers are more concerned about the second injury, which is the Achilles, but he has looked like himself during the parts of recent practices that were open to the media. Even if he gets back to all activity on Friday, he seems like a good bet to enter the weekend with a designation for Sunday's game. So maybe Jordan Mason plays, maybe not.
McCaffrey
plays, maybe not.
Either way, I don't think Sam Darnold has what it takes to best this defense. I think he's going to get chewed up all day by Fred Warner.
And Bosa.
Yeah. I think he had one. I mean, like, I don't even count last week, honestly. Like, no offense, but it wasn't a good showing from really New York. I think I need more from him to really me to be like, hey, you know what? I can back this team, but for now, I'm going to definitely take the 49ers. Honestly, I would even take them at -5.
Yeah, I could see that. Next up, Indianapolis taking on Green Bay.
For me,
Colts
game
favored by 3. This, I wouldn't say game of the week.
No. For the 1 p.m. games, this is probably games for the 1 p.m. games. I would say if you're going to watch any game out of the 1 p.m. game and you don't have a fandom for any team that's playing at 1 p.m.
exciting.
I think this is the exciting. I think we see what AR is really made of this week.
Yes.
I think we're really going to get a taste of what he can do. I think the 9 completions last week were obviously low. Does he bump that up a ton? I don't know. I honestly don't really know. I don't know what to expect. Yeah, I think we're both kind of just at a question mark here.
Well, here's the thing. This was going to be one of my 3. It was going to be the over. But now with Malik Willis, I would still take the over. But it's not one of my 3.
Yeah.
But
I think this Malik Willis might have... Is he going to have a good game?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I really don't know. And plus, these are 2 defenses that didn't really look good in week 1. With the Packers not looking that great in Brazil. And then the Colts not looking that great on their home field against Houston.
I think I'm going to take, if anything, I'm still going to take Colts -2.5. But I think this game's going to be a lot closer than... Obviously, the spread's
Most
there,
people
but I think,
yeah,
I think some people are giving Indianapolis kind of the win outright here. I think it's going to be closer than you think. I think they'll establish the run decently. I think Josh Jacobs have a good game. I don't know. I think Green Bay does a good job here. I don't think they are way too out of their league with Malik Willis at quarterback.
Yeah. Next up, Giants, Commanders. Commanders favored by 1.5.
Take it away, Stan.
And it's like, I mean, there's so many things where it's like, okay, like Daniel Jones owns the Commanders. Like, there's that. And then there's other situations where it's like, oh, Dan Quinn spent his time in Dallas as a defensive coordinator, just pummeling the shit out of him. I don't know what to think of this. I know Malik Nabers was limited at practice the other day, but this game's just going to be just so gross. And to be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants win it.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
Just because of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants end up winning that game. It's disgusting. It's so gross. So gross.
It'd be a hell of a game to watch.
How terrible we are. Going to the 4 o'clock slate, Rams, Cardinals. Cardinals favored by 1.5. Puka Nacua is on IR. He will miss at least the next 4 games.
I do not know how the Cardinals are favored.
I believe it. I think it's that they looked good against Buffalo. They looked good against Buffalo. Almost had a shot to win the game if Kyler Murray could just look up and see that Marvin Harrison is wide open. And people need to realize, too, the best wide receivers in the league did not have the best games to start out. So I think Marvin Harrison will be all right. I get why they're favored, but at the same time, I don't know anyone on this LA secondary. I don't know anyone on this LA secondary that can Arizona secondary that can hang with Cooper Kupp.
I don't know really
He's going to be getting all those targets now.
I just don't understand how this dude's always open. It seems like it doesn't matter who's on him. Like, no matter what. Well, underneath, just right over the middle. They work it right over the middle of the field a ton with him. I think Cooper Kupp's going to have a day. If I'm taking anything, it's over on the receiving yards.
Yeah, I believe it's at...
It's 7, I mean, 80 is still minus, 80 plus is minus 150.
All right. So probably definitely like 88 or something like that. That would definitely, that will do that. Yeah, I got nothing from this game, but expect Cooper Kupp to feast. Next up, Cincinnati, Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 5.5, total set at 47.5. T. Higgins, still a question.
Burrow plays KC so good. I don't know.
He does. I can see Burrow sneaking out of cover here.
So can I. I 100% can see them covering the 6 points.
I can see it. It frightens me that... It frightens me that we are, like, with how bad they looked last week. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Burrow obviously.
Expect this to be a close game. Expect this to be a very close game. Next up, Pittsburgh, Denver. I'm ringing that bell. Give me the Steelers minus 2.5. Mike Tomlin against rookie quarterbacks. You know his record?
What?
25-5 is Mike Tomlin's career record against rookie quarterbacks. And I know that each year the Broncos win ugly, ugly games as underdogs, but there, with how bad Bo Nix looked against Seattle, you think that he's going to survive with T.J. Watt coming off of the edge?
No, I don't at all. No.
He's not. He's not.
It's just funny. This is going to, I think 2.5, I guess just because Justin Fields is playing, is a little bit of a slight. Yeah. But
I don't know. I like the Steelers 2.5 here. Other than that, there's nothing. And I love how everyone's on the Broncos. Literally everyone and their mother are on the Broncos. People need to realize. People need to remember. Next up, Sunday night game, Chicago, Houston. Great jersey matchup this game. The Texans wearing their all whites. The Bears wearing their all orange. Texans favored by 6.5. Total set at 45.5. Nico Collins did miss practice or was limited to practice due to an illness. I believe he will get the all good. I got nothing from this game.
No, but call me crazy that if the Bears win, like, I'm not shocked.
Okay.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Noah Dunze. I believe Keenan Allen's hurt as well.
He's questionable.
But, okay.
I think I think Caleb Williams finally might settle in. I don't know. I have such a weird feeling about this game. I don't know what it is.
Another one I like, Joe Mixon over 66.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Tony Pollard.
After week one, Tony Pollard
had a day against that Bears running defense.
Yeah, and after week one, it's going to be hard not to bet not anything Joe Mixon does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but I got nothing from this game. And last but not least, the Monday night game. And by process of elimination, I think you all know, Eagles favored by 6.5. Total is set at 47.5. I'm ringing the bell. I am taking the Eagles minus 6.5. I just think that they're better on both sides of the ball here. I know Kirk Cousins will do better than what he did last week, but not enough to make a difference. Factor that with Atlanta's horrible defense. I think Philly would be too much for them, and you got to keep in mind, it's Kirk Cousins on national television. It's Kirk Cousins on national
television. It's primetime Kirk. We
all know how this goes.
It might be different in Atlanta.
Might be, but I don't know. To review, we have, well, Josh Allen was done. That was put in the kibosh. So I'm 0-4. Tim's still 0-3. Jesus, I can't talk. I have the Steelers -2.5, Eagles -6.5, Tim with the Chargers -5.5, the Jets -4. He got it at -4, and then the Browns money line. We're building back better.
Starts with one.
The road to the stage begins. Road to the stage begins. Let's go to college football. Pretty light week. There actually is a ranked game on today, which should be pretty good. Arizona and Kansas State. Alabama going into Camp Randall, taking on Wisconsin. They're hanging a big number there. LSU in South Carolina.
I think that's going to be.
Are we riding?
I was just about to say that. I think this for me is probably game of the week. I think Gamecocks win.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a shot here. I'm trying to find the.
Oregon State might be interesting. Just because of the rivalry,
civil conflict. Yeah. This is funny, Tim. This is like the first time since like 1920 something that both Oregon and Oregon State go into the civil conflict undefeated. Now, granted, they played that game in November every year, but still,
yeah. Well, it usually sucked. Bo Nix losing it, and then that I don't even want to relive that year. Dropping the last two games is just brutal, but
let's just talk about Oregon real quick, because I saw Herb Street go on Pat McAfee, and he was basically saying that, like, I don't see that, like, the drive or the hunger that this Oregon team had last year.
Yeah, well, for me, it starts with, you got a ton of new transfers, and obviously there's, you know, a completely new quarterback. Bo Nix was there for 2 years, and I mean, he was like 24 years old. He obviously knew what he was doing. He'd been at that point in college for like 6 years. You still have Dylan Gabriel. I know these two games have been close. Obviously the Boise State one was a lot closer than anyone anticipated, but it's still Oregon football. They won the first two. I think this, not saying it's a get right week, but if they can rout Oregon State at Oregon State
in Corvallis, yeah, that's
yeah.
Big.
I think it's definitely a little bit of a wake up call for them, and might get them, you know, jump starting the season week three. Obviously, starting 3-0 would be great. I know they're ranked number 9 right now. At the end of the year, I honestly still in my mind don't see a world where they don't finish top 5 with how good this team is. So we'll see how this week goes. I'm definitely anticipating an Oregon win. 16.5 is the spread. Yeah, I'm not saying they cover that, but. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, they're still Oregon. It's Oregon football. They were the best offensive in the league last year. I know they lose guys like Troy Franklin, you know, Bo Nix, obviously, but it's still Oregon football. I have faith in Dan Lanning. I think they get the job done, and I think it could be a 3-touchdown win for them this week.
All right. Conference realignment news. The Pac-12 is back.
I saw that. There's like five teams jumped in?
The Pac-12 is back. Let me find. They added 4 Mountain West schools. They added the likes of Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State for the Mountain West. The new members will remain in the Mountain West for the 2025 season before joining the Pac-12 in 2026. It's nice. I mean, the conference won't be as good as it once was.
But yeah, obviously.
it's nice to see that Pac-12 After Dark will be remaining in our lives. Although, according to Pete Nankos, nine schools to watch for further Pac-12 expansion plans. Two of them being Cal and Stanford. So they might be coming back. Another one, UNLV, Air Force.
I think that'd be good for Cal, actually. I think that'd give Cal a good shot at they can, you know, put a team together.
I mean, Cal went into fucking Jordan Hare on Saturday and beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be very funny if Stanford and Cal left, like, they leave the Pac-12 to go to the ACC, and then they were like,
we're not winning games here. Let's go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's tail it back here. Trying to find any other college news. I did see something on Twitter. Like, if they get like two more teams with state in their name, can they just be called the State Eight?
They should get to a 12, the State 12.
right now they're the six pack.
Yeah. They got to regroup.
Yeah, they got to regroup. Do you want to talk some baseball? And then,
well, we will, but I want to, right before we finish, I just want to get to this Colorado State game, because I think for anyone who watches college football in general, your eyes are on Colorado. What do you feel going in this week? Last week was a brutal. I think obviously a lot of it for me is Deion's just not a good coach. He's a good player coach, and that's great to have. But when it comes to X's and O's, I don't know. The first year wasn't great. This year doesn't seem to be going too well either.
Yeah. I just think that he's just too all in on those on the cameras. Like, that's kind of where I'm at with that. Because it's like I look back to Michigan when everyone was like, oh, fuck, John Harbaugh's Harbaugh's got to go. And then you'd stop seeing the videos of it, of like the halftime locker room speeches and the who's got it better than us, all that shit. And then Michigan goes on and win a national championship. Now, I'm not saying if Deion stops this, then they're destined for success, but he's just got to, and he won't stop. That's the thing. He won't stop with that. And will it ever leave? And now, like, it's such a tough situation. Because it's Colorado football. Like, yeah. They haven't had this much relevance ever since when they won the national championship back in the 90s. Like, this is...
Even then, I wouldn't even say the same. Because now, the media is now, I mean, they are front center on ESPN every single Saturday, even Friday going into their games. They're getting a ton of media coverage. And for a team that last year was, what, 4-8?
Yes, 4-8 last year.
The expectations...
They were one.
Yeah, they've one win.
Won one game.
Yeah, the expectation because of the media coverage and the way Deion promotes this team is just through the roof for them. So anything but like 9 wins is just doesn't seem good.
Their win total for their preseason win total was 6.5. I don't see them getting past that.
Neither do I. I think this might be another 4-win year. Especially after last week, I just don't know. It seems to be a disconnect from Shador, the old line, the defensive scheme. It just seems very much like me football. I think Shador and I don't know, Shiloh. He's broken forearm.
You saw that video? That video?
Yeah.
We're going to beat that ass. Nope.
He's just, there's a lot of talk. I don't know. I mean, Travis Hunter's obviously the best player in the country, but it's football. It's not the NBA. You can't just win with one guy.
You can't.
I don't know. I think for him, obviously going to Deion's beneficial for player development, but just as a college player standpoint.
Is he beneficial for player development?
I would say just for him, because the way Travis Hunter plays is similar to Deion's style. Obviously, they could both play on both sides of the ball.
The thing with that is it's literally like his three best, I'd say his three best players are his two sons, and no shit, like, Deion's kids are going to be good.
Yeah.
And then...
And Shiloh is... Shiloh is like the dirtiest player in college football, too. He took a ton of stupid penalties in that first week.
And then you have Travis Hunter, who was the number one player in the country going into this.
Yeah.
Going into in his high school class. So again, it's not like basketball where it's just like, you know, one guy ride with him and see what happens. No, it's completely different here.
Yeah.
And plus, I'll say this. Travis Hunter playing wide receiver and cornerback is going to get him like severely injured.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, I don't think that's going to fly in the NFL.
No, and I think
you're either having him as a wide receiver or a cornerback.
And I think that's partially why he is so attached to Deion, is Deion gives him the freedom to do what, you know, he wants to do, and that's play both sides of the ball. Obviously, Deion did, you know, somewhat sort of the same thing. I think Deion decided to build this team like it's an NFL roster, where you're like, let me get a star cornerback, you know, star receiver who, you know, plays both sides of the ball, decent safety, a star quarterback, and kind of build it like the Chiefs, where it's like nothing crazy, you know, you don't have any standout names, but this isn't the NFL. I mean, you can't just have like six game changers and like be fine and still compete with other teams. The skill level is a huge gap from guys on Georgia, on the Georgia O-line, to guys on the Colorado O-line. Think, you know, it doesn't fly like the NFL. And if you're going to build it like an NFL roster, especially at Colorado, it's just, it's a recipe for disaster. So
yeah, it's not looking, especially now they're technically in like a harder conference now.
Yeah.
Because this new Big 12 is like not to be.
It's not easy.
With. Also, speaking of Deion, did you see that he fell for a. He fell for a fucking fake tweet?
Of course he did. It's Deion Sanders.
Someone, this guy, Wilson F. Ball, college football analyst. This is already breaking per sources close to Utah football, the laceration on the hand of Utes quarterback Cam Rising has grown infected and are showing signs of tetanus. He's expected to be out for up to 6 to 8 weeks. Utah Athletics is preparing a medical redshirt waiver for an 8th season just in case. The community note stepped in. but still, Deion tweeted, praying for you, Cam Rising. God bless you, your family, and your team. And you're an awesome, resilient young man.
Hey, you know what? At least he was being, you know, modest about it. He could have been like, fuck you, he deserved it. Look what you did to my son.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it would, I think they play this year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they do. November 16th in Colorado.
There you go.
Yeah, in Colorado. Yeah, let's just look at Colorado's remaining schedule, because I don't think it's going to get any easier from here. Colorado State, I'll give them the win. I'll give them the win for that.
Sure.
Because I think Colorado's looking for revenge, and I know they won the game in double overtime, but at the same time, Colorado is looking for revenge here. Like, this is the same team. They knocked out Travis Hunter and lost him for the majority of the year with a lacerate. How did a kidney get involved in that? I have no idea. Baylor, this is just like two teams that are just mid. Baylor There's, and fucking,
like every game, yeah. Every game that's like they have a shot at winning for me is a toss up. And then the games they don't, like, you're not beating Kansas State. I don't think you're beating Arizona. Yeah.
No.
I don't think you're beating Cincinnati. Utah.
Yeah.
Like, Oklahoma State, you're not winning.
Yeah. Cincinnati and Texas Tech are toss-ups. Kansas, you're not winning.
Everything's a toss-up, dude. They might be terrible. Like, honestly. Yeah. If they lose this game, Stan, they might have two wins.
They might. That's bad. It's really bad. I just don't see it with this Colorado team. I don't.
No.
All right, let's go to baseball. The Mets, what a win.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. I saw Frank the Tank. He was ready, loaded up with some tweets that he was ready to let out some anger, the fact they were getting no hit in the eighth. And I saw some. It was so funny because earlier in the game, he was doing a little hand motion to show, like, he was throwing a curveball to someone. And he did the little, you know, this is what you do in a bullpen. You drop your glove like you're throwing a curveball. And I think it was Jose Iglesias, and he got a swing and miss. And every comment under the Lindor home run was like, oh, did he let him know he was throwing 92 up and away? Or
I mean, this is a big time.
He's the MVP. He is the MVP. I'm so sorry. And as good as Shohei is, 50-50 is unfreaking believable.
Yeah, if he gets – I think if Shohei gets to 50-50, it's going to be
– But if he doesn't – Even if he's had like 49 home runs, like if there's not a 50 up there, it's so hard for me in a world where a guy.
I'm sad that the Yankee game today's on Apple.
No, that's just the worst news you could possibly get. But I would say, for a guy who plays every single game in the field, very efficient, probably the best fielding shortstop in baseball, one of the best hitting shortstops in baseball. I'd probably say the second best at this point. And
yeah,
it's the impact he has on and off the field in this ball club is unbelievable. And when you look at the definition of most valuable player without Lindor, this team's not even close to a wild card. Not even remotely close.
Yeah, not even in the slightest. Not in the slightest. Not at all. Yankee side of things, that was a big win yesterday. Big walk-off win.
Back-to-back walk-offs.
Back-to-back walk-off wins.
You guys got to heat up, too, because you've been playing great baseball as of late. Let's be honest.
We have been. As of late, yeah. After that Texas series, it's been...
Yeah,
we've been playing good ball.
You're starting to heat up. Yeah, you're 6-4 in your last 10. I mean, at one point you had like it was like 3-7. So
that Texas series was a disaster. That whole series was a disaster. It seems like so. Here's what we have left. We have technically four series left. Four. We have three at Seattle, three at Oakland, and then back home for three against Baltimore, and now this is where it becomes like the big series. And I'm glad that there's going to be football on that day, the Thursday. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series, so my full and undivided attention will be on that game. Let's just put it this way. I feel like we need to break free from the division now, especially
yes, when we're playing
like the Mariners and the A's, because... If it becomes close, the Orioles just need to win. Let's say we go into that series with the division tied. Orioles just need one game to win in order to have the tiebreaker over the Yankees. So yeah. I think that we need to run away with this division.
And
we
I think to. What you need right now is you need Detroit to stay strong. They got Detroit twice into two series
with
Detroit. They have a series
and with... They've looked pretty good despite selling.
I know. And they got the series with San Fran. I think, listen, the Yankees, if they sweep this series against Boston, and I know that's a lot considering they played.
Oh, my God. It's four games.
Yeah. That's a runaway. I think the Yankees easily run away with this division. But if Boston sneaks out and you go 2-2, and then, you know.
Which Detroit, always happens.
Unfortunately, Detroit yes.
Plays a dud. Yeah.
I mean, there's things that could happen. I still, the Yankees are winning this division. There's no, I just don't see them not winning the division.
Think so?
I don't see where they don't. I don't. I think they're the best team in the AL. Best or second best. I would say them or Cleveland are definitely 1A, 1B. I don't see them losing. I think they have this unlock. And their run differential is crazy.
Yeah, they lead the league in run differential, I believe.
Yeah, they do.
125.
One more than the Phillies. Milwaukee leads it. They're second. Yeah. Well, the pitch. Okay, let's just give them their flowers now before the Mets play them in 2 weeks. How the hell are they 84-62? What a season for them. Christian Yelich goes out too.
Yeah. Everyone was counting them out.
I was 100% counting them out.
Yeah, they got a good team, man. Shit.
They do.
Peralta, Reyes, Savali. I mean, they added Montes. I mean, I think he's been... Yeah, he threw a 6-inning gem yesterday. Like, yeah, they look good.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a team you want to run into. Like, that's the thing. Like, I can see that team going to the NLCS, or I can see them getting bounced in the wild.
And I think the first round for me is kind of where I see them, but I got to give them props. They're looking good right now. Contreras has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Probably their best hitter. And that's crazy to get from a catcher. But yeah, Domus has 30 home runs. It's just all around the board. They're all hitting well. And the pitching.
I know.
Damn. What a team.
Yep. All right. Moving on to what I saw, because Tim's got to be out of here in like 10 minutes.
I got class.
Yes. Good call by me, because we would have been here all day.
I know. I didn't even realize.
But what I saw is Dave Grohl. Did you see what he did?
What'd he do?
He did like an Ashley Madison thing, but it gets worse. He got the woman pregnant.
Oh, jeez.
While he's married.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
That's not good.
Yep.
And when we're talking about that, I think I relayed it right into what I saw. Shannon Sharpe, oh my lord. What? That is hilarious. Did you see that? You had to. Shannon Sharpe?
Oh, I was just going to mention that.
Oh, my. That was what I saw. That was hilarious. And then him and Ocho doing poor their guy. Podcast after, like it's a post-game breakdown, is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I'll say this. If I'm Paul Pierce, I'm fucking pissed, man. Because he did the same thing and got fired.
No, Sharpe got fired.
No, we didn't. ESPN said they were going to bring him back.
Oh, really? I thought they said they were getting rid of him.
No, ESPN was bringing him back.
Because it was so funny when he tried to play it off like he got hacked, and then he went on his podcast. Yeah,
he basically was.
Oh yeah, I see that now. He won't even face discipline. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm fucking
Paul Pierce, I'm livid. Paul Pierce is though, like you saw his face and everything in it too. It was like,
oh yeah,
like you know, like there's no playing that off. Like at least Shannon's just like, yeah, I don't know. But Ocho had me dead. If you didn't see it, Stan, I really recommend. Just looking up Ocho and Shannon, like their podcast right after. It was so funny. Yeah.
I did see it. Bleacher Report just came out with an article. Every postseason contender's fatal flaw.
Oh, I saw the Mets being the Mets.
Is it actually?
It's literally just a...
Oh, my God. And then the Yankees is too dependent.
Relying into it, yeah.
Yeah,
so dude, they couldn't think of one. Every other team's got like, oh, like pitching staff, outfield issues, and the Mets is just like, just being the Mets. Like, just it's more than enough for them to lose.
Yeah. My other one I saw is Nikado Avocado. Do you see this guy?
Yeah. Playing like chess and everyone's playing checkers. Crazy. Genius. That's hilarious.
For those who don't know, Nikado Avocado is this guy who was on YouTube. He did mukbang videos. Right? That's what you call it?
Yeah,
mukbang videos?
Yeah. Mukbang, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever. Which is basically you just shove your face in with just a shit ton of food and everyone is just concerned for your well-being. Anyway, this guy, Nikado Avocado, had 2 years of pre-recorded mukbangs and he was fat as fuck. And then he revealed the other day that he lost all the weight and all of that was just pre-recorded. Shit from 2 years ago.
Now.
And you kept on saying, I'm always two steps ahead.
Now, do I fully believe it? Partially, yes. But no. I think some of it had to have been recorded. But I also think, I don't know, I was just saying this, but I think Ozempic maybe had a play in this one. Because there's no way, it just was 2 years of pre-record. And then, like, he had, like, all of these, he was, like, staying.
He just spent the past 2 years fucking.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that that these videos, think about that. That they were pre-recorded for 2.5 years, right? So think about what he had to do. Go back to think about this. He had to do this for 2.5 years before he could do this for 2.5 years. So this is, what, a four? 5 year,
like a four or five year project. Yeah,
I don't see how that. There's no way that is entirely true. I think partially some of them are recorded, but I think there's no way.
I don't. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. All right, Tim. Anything else from you?
Shout out my grandpa Tom. It's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Tom!
There you go.
Is that the one who went to the hockey game?
Yeah. It's the one you know.
All time. For those who don't know how I met Tim's grandpa, he straight up just said to me, yeah, I don't know you.
He's pretty blunt. It's some funny ones. I mean,
it was like you, Matt, Boyko, and me. He was like, yeah, I know Sean. I don't know this guy, but.
It's like, that's Stan. Like, nice to meet you.
Oh, my God.
He's so funny. He's so blunt.
Oh, my. Speaking of grandpas, my grandpa. As you all know, I've told stories. Aaron, he thinks he's friends with Aaron Judge on Facebook. Past like couple of like he's just been posting on Facebook about the Yankees as if he was like tweeting on Twitter. Like it's actually like
get him Holmes on Twitter.
His Twitter got hacked.
Jesus.
Holmes pitching in the ninth, 3 prayer emojis.
Oh my God. That's so funny because it's exactly what I said yesterday. I was like, oh my God, Clay Holmes is coming out? Like, this game's over. I was like, they're throwing Clay Pigeon right now?
He came in last night. He looked pretty good.
He did look good. I'll give you that. He did look pretty good.
Another lucky break for Holmes. The Yankees are a joke lately. Holmes is pitching, three prayer emojis.
All right, well, I think we found him.
This was him last night. There goes Boone again, overmanaging.
I think we found the biggest Clay Holmes hater of anyone we've met.
Oh, yeah, no, he hates Clay Holmes. But then he gave him his flowers yesterday. I've knocked Clay Holmes before, but tonight he came through.
He had a good, you know what, he was pretty good. People want him to be Emmanuel Clase. No one's Emmanuel Clase, No one will ever be
Emmanuel. If people had some sense, they would give Emmanuel Clase Cy Young votes.
Yeah, 100%. He has a 0.5 ERA.
It's absurd.
I think, who's the last closer to win it? It was
Gagne.
Yeah, it was Gagne in, it was the same year Bonds won MVP.
Yeah.
03?
Yeah, either 03 or 04, maybe even 02, but it was one of those 3 years.
Fuck it, give it to him. I 100% think we're not going to see another reliever do something like this for a while. And as much as I like Tarek Skubal, I mean, if he wins Triple Crown, it's hard not to give it to him. But
yeah, it's hard not.
Clase with a 0.5.
At least give Clase some Cy Young votes.
I know.
And I hope they don't give. And that's me, as someone that predicted that Tarek Skubal was going to win the Cy Young.
And I would also like to point out, I did pick Zach Wheeler, who will finish in second, because fucking Chris Sale can lick my nuts.
Yeah,
and
Chris Sale. You know,
I will say this, though. When you go back, if we go back, pull up that footage, both of us said, I would not be shocked if Chris Sale completely turns it around and wins Cy Young in the NL. I will just say that. I will let that be known.
Because it's because of the team that he signed with. Like,
of course it is. Of course it is. Of course it fucking is, Stan. I hate the Braves, all right? Yeah. I can't escape them.
God. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars?
5 stars only. And we will see you guys on Tuesday for our week 2 and college football recap. All right. Peace out, guys.